And Parashat Truma, as we know, begins a series of sedras in the Chumash, which is dedicated to the matters relating to the construction of the Mishkan, pretty much the whole rest of Sefer Shmos, Truma and Tetzaveh for sure, Kisisa, at least the first part of Kisisa, the non-narrative part, and then the end of Kisisa, you have other mitzvahs, and then Lacham Pekudah, more or less all have to do with the building of the Mishkan. So we know the Pasuk says, V'asali Mikdash Shechanti B'socham, the whole purpose is to make this Mishkan, this Mikdash, ultimately the base HaMikdash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in. We also know that the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Perikid Aleph Pasuk Lamed Pasuk Tezayim, it says that Yechezkel was a Navi who prophesied in Chutz Laaretz. Yechezkel was taken away to Babel 11 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash destroyed. By that time, most of the upper class, most of the nobility, most of the Talmid Chachamim had been taken away to Babel 11 years before. As we're reading Megillas Esther, it's almost Purim, in the second parak, Mordechai is identified, so it says, Asher Hoglam Yerushalayim, that's one of the psukim reading the Eichot to him, Asher Hoglam Yerushalayim, Agol Asher Hoglam from Yechonia Melech Yehuda. Yechonia Melech Yehuda, sometimes called Yechonia, sometimes called Yehoyachin, was exiled 11 years before. The Pasuk speaks about the Chorah Shemaskir. So Chazal understand it to mean the upper class, the nobility, the Talmid Chachamim were taken away about 11 years before. Yechezkel, therefore, was not in Eretz Yisrael, not in Yerushalayim, on the base of Eretz Yisrael. Yirmiyahu was there. Yirmiyahu was the Navi, he was the eyewitness. According to Chazal, he wrote Megillas Eicha. He was there when it happened. Yechezkel found that out by Pesukim in Sefer Yechezkel that indicate that when he found out, he was notified by somebody who escaped from the war, came to Babel and told Yechezkel and the other Jews that the city fell. Yerushalayim had been destroyed. So Yechezkel was in Babel, so he had this apostle. Yechezkel, he said, because Baruch Hu promised it to be, O'elahem lemikdash ma'at. Mikdash Ma'at, I will be like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara has, in the end of Megillah, and Chof Tesman Alf, the Gemara says, Mikdash Ma'at, that is a reference to the Bate Knesios and the Bate Midrash Shebe Bavel. That's a reference to Shuls and Bate Midrash. Bavel means outside of Eretz Yisrael. That somehow they're all considered to be in the category of a Mikdash Ma'at, a miniature version, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash. And certain things we have in a Shul, which is supposed to replicate that was done in the Mishkan, and so there are many dinim that relate to that. It's an interesting question. Assuming that there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, also the mikdash b'shochanti b'socham, is any mitzvah to build a shul? Is building a shul, putting up a shul building, building a shul, is that considered to be a mitzvah or not? Yavne Nezer has a tshuva in Chelek Or Chaim Simon Mem Zayin. He raises a question in connection with whether you can have a non-Jew, a goy, work on Shabbos to build building a new shul. So can one have a non-Jew on Shabbos? We usually have a din that a non-Jew cannot do on Shabbos anything that a Jew can't do. You can't ask a non-Jew, a Merlinoch, you can't ask a non-Jew to do. But for Makom Mitzvah, there are different exceptions to the rule. Makom Mitzvah, so can you have a non-Jew? If you hold it, it's a mitzvah, so then one can argue that even if a non-Jew is building on Shabbos, it would not be a violation because he's assisting with the performance of the mitzvah. On the other hand, the Nezer suggests there may not be an actual mitzvah to build a shul. There's just a mitzvah to see to it that a shul is built. But the actual act of building a shul, you have to see that a shul is built. But there's no mitzvah to, per se, in the Maisa mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah would be maybe in the category of a Hechsher mitzvah, right? We'll see in a moment there's Hechsher mitzvah for another reason. Or maybe it's a mitzvah Rabbanon. Wouldn't be. So that's a question that Nezer raises. But he points to Mogan Avram in Simon Reish Ayin Vav. Sif Kotenches and Shulchan Aruch on Shabbos says that it's osur, okay, to have a goy build a shul on Shabbos because there probably is no mitzvah. Okay, what this may relate to is what the status of the kedusha of a shul is. Rabban writes in his kedushim to Megillat Abchof Hamabez. Rabban writes that the kedusha of a shul is in the category of tashmish mitzvah. We have two different types of items that we use in connection with mitzvahs. We have tashmishay mitzvah and tashmishay kedusha. Number of differences between them. Tashmish and mitzvah are things which have kedusha, have importance, only calls man that they're fit for use as a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is still in effect. Let's say you have a talus. So after a while, the strings rip, or the garment rips, or gets soiled, and so on, you can't use it anymore. So talus is in the category of tashmish and mitzvah. One of the differences, tashmish and mitzvah are nizrakim. You don't have to bury them. Tashmish and kedusha are nikbarim, they have to be buried. Tashmish and mitzvah can be thrown out. So practice it, you don't throw it out with the garbage with the banana peels and the chicken bones, that's disrespectful. But strictly, you can put it in a plastic bag and dispose of it. You can throw out, let's say, after Sukkot, the Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog, during Sukkot, they're Tashmish and Mitzvah. You're not allowed to even get Hanoah. You're not supposed to smell the Hadas or eat the Esrog during Sukkot because they're considered to be for the set aside huktzah l'mitzvah, and they set aside for the purpose of the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is over, either because the zman of the mitzvah ended or because the item is no longer fit for use, so if it's in a category of tashmish mitzvah, then you can throw it out. You know, again, you throw it out in a respectful way. Many people have the practice, or some people have the practice to use the lulav, to save the lulav till Erev Pesach, and use that for firewood to make the wood, you know, the fire to burn the chametz. Not required to do that. Somebody told me once he was going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and he was in the airport a few days before Pesach, and a guy came with his lulav. And he said, I'm sorry, I just have to ask you, why you bring a lulav for Pesach? What do you mean? He wants to burn it with the chametz at Pesach. Okay, I don't know, that's a little exaggerated. I don't think you have to bring a lulav to Eretz Yisrael to burn it. But anyway, that's disposed of a nice way. There's no dinner has to be buried. Mashenu ken tashmishe kedusha, things which have kedusha to it, inherent kedusha. So then if they're no longer in use, then you have to get rid of them. We call that shemus and so on. A sefer Torah that's ripped, or a pair of tefillin that's no longer usable, mezuzah that gets weather beaten, and so on and so forth. So then you can't just throw it out, you have to bury them. How do you figure out what's tashmishe mitzvah, what's tashmishe kedusha? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on other sources, the tashmishe kedusha means that all the kedusha emanates from the Torah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of kedusha. So things which have words from the Torah, that's called tashmishe kedusha. So, and depending on how many words it has greater kedusha. So the mezuzah has kedusha. Tefillin has greater kedusha than the mezuzah, because tefillin has only two parshas. Mezuzah has only two parshas, tefillin has four parshas. And even the tefillin shel Rosh has a higher kedusha than the tefillin shel Yad, because the tefillin shel Rosh has on the box and the bias and the top, the shin, right, engraved. The shin is a letter, and it's written like a letter from the Torah, has it engraved. The bias of the shel Yad does not have that. And of course, Sefer Torah is even a higher kedusha. So that's the question, what's the status of the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses? So Rabban writes, a Beis HaKnesses is a place to facilitate davening with a minyan and having tefillah b'tzibur. So then it's in the category of tashmishe mitzvah, right? We wouldn't categorize the shul as tashmishe kedusha. It'll be in the category of tashmishe mitzvah. But others, so that's the Rabban. And that would mean, because there's no mitzvah to build a shul, there's no mitzvah to build a shul, but tashmishe mitzvah may not be a mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to, you have to have a little bit of an esrog, you have to have a sukkah, but is there a mitzvah to build it? Okay, a mitzvah to create it? So tashmishe mitzvah, you could argue that there's no, Rambam doesn't say this, I'm just extrapolating, there's no mitzvah to build a shul, it's tashmishe mitzvah, you have to have a shul so people can daven, but it enhances your tefillah, and it makes you have a beautiful shul, so it's a better place to daven, it's a part of the mitzvah of tefillah, so to speak. On the other hand, because the shul has a sefer Torah in it, so then we could argue it's in the category of, in a sense, tashmishe kedusha. It's a higher level of kedusha because of the presence of the Sefer Torah. As a matter of fact, you could make a nafkamina would be sometimes. Well, you could ask, what about the classrooms upstairs? Yes, I'm sure I'm davening in the classroom. Well, let's say have sometimes in an office building, there's a lot of religious Jews, so they designate one room. They could have mincha. There's no Sefer Torah there. Okay, so nafkamina sometimes are falling for tachanun and other things like that. So that's a question whether it's tashmishe mitzvah or tashmishe kedusha. Let's say you have a room in the office building, no Sefer Torah there, they daven mincha there every day. That's not going to have the same kedusha as a shul that has the Sefer Torah there. So maybe, right, that's what I'm saying. So maybe it has a difference. Would you fall for tacharon? You know, tacharon, maybe that's only in the presence of a Sefer Torah. Right, that's only the kedusha of the shul. You wouldn't do it in a room that in an office building or something. Since that's a nafkamina, but it's tashmishe mitzvah. You know, if it's a room that's designated for davening, it's tashmishe mitzvah. People get together to daven, but it's not a kedusha, tashmishe kedusha. And it's a broader subject. But it may relate to this question of building the shul. Minchas Alos has a tshuva. Minchas Alos was the munkach rebbe, Chelak Dalet Tzimel Amin Ches. He says there's no mitzvah. He says that at best it would be in a category of a heksha mitzvah. Building a shul would be a heksha mitzvah. The Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam in the Perek Yud Aleph, Vilchus Tzil, at the beginning says there's a mitzvah to get together to build a shul. Okay, the Rambam here. We'll just read it inside because it's always worth it. The first line. Always worth it to see the Rambam's words. Okay. So the Rambam writes, I'll just read it to you because then you can figure out where the Rambam weighs in on this subject. So Hilchos Tefillah, and I'm off here, okay. Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Aleph, Aloch Aleph. You can read the Rambam maybe either way. The Rambam writes, Kol Mokom Sheish Bar Soros in Israel, any place which has 10 Jews, Sorech Lehochin Lo Bayish Sheichnasu Bo Letefillah B'chol Ha'is Tefillah. You have to build a location that people can come into the daven. Okay? Umokum zu nikra beis haknesses. That's where the mokum is. Nikra beis, that's the beis haknesses. Right? So, what does the Rambam hold? It sounds like he's saying, kol mokum shir, wherever you have it. He says, tzorech lahachin. Doesn't use the word mitzvah. Tzorech lahachin. So it sounds like the Rambam is probably saying that it's really only for the purpose of davening, right? That's certainly, you can read the Rambam, he's not saying it's a mitzvah to build a shul. If there are 10 Jews, you have to have a place to daven, so you have to set aside a place for them to go davening. And that's why many suggest the Rambam does not hold the building of shul as a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's enable people, 10 Jews have to have an opportunity to daven to live at Tzibur. So therefore, you should set up a shul. However, I saw in Sefer Sheiris Yosef, it was written by a Talmud Chacham from Queens, Yosef Warman, his name is Chalavrocha. So, Shlomo Warman, I mean, it's called Sheiris Yosef, Shlomo Warman. He says he heard from the Moshe Feinstein, Chalavrocha, differently. He said he heard from the Moshe that no, the Rambam wouldn't have to say this at all. He wouldn't have to say a word. Obviously, if people are daven, you have to have a place to daven. What does Rambam have to tell us to do that? Why does Rambam have to tell us to go build a place? Obviously, if there are 10 people that have a minyan, so you're going to have to find a place. Willy-nilly, they have to find a place to daven. Rambam wouldn't bother telling you that. He would just tell you, Jews have to get together to daven, tefillah b'tzibur. Where? You figure out. You find a place. What if you go ahead and tell him what you have to build? Maybe holds it is a mitzvah. Okay, interesting possibility. Just conclude. The Shari Tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch. In Aruch Chaim, Simon, Reish Chav Gimel, Simon Kotten Tezvav, raised the question, let's say they build a shul, and they had a case like that. They built a shul, and they completed the building of shul, so the rabbi who was involved there said, you say Shechiyonu. They completed the building, they had the dedication ceremony, whatever it is, they said Shechiyonu upon the completion of the building of the shul. You can imagine how to go over today with a big discussion, tumult, they shouldn't say Shechiyonu. So the Shari Tshuva is a quote, it doesn't resolve, but one could argue that maybe it depends on this question. If you hold the Takam Akaim a mitzvah, it's building shul's a mitzvah, then it's appropriate to say Shechiyonu. If it's only a Hechsher mitzvah, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate to say Shechiyonu. So that's a bit of an open question. Okay, so I'm sure we're good there.